Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Ladies and gentlemen. Gentlemen,
one of my favorite guys on the network on ESPN is Jeff Saturday. He's a guy's guy, very, very funny.
He's also a high school football coach now, as well as being a TV star.
Oh yeah, and he longtime Colt, very successful Colt, and a self-made guy, and then went to Green Bay for a year too. Super Bowl champion at our expense. We've talked to him about that. What I loved most recently with Jeff Saturday and why I said to Abdallah and you, we got to get Jeff Saturday on soon, is because I like when the national guys can feel our pain. When they understand, and he was just disgusted with what he saw from the Bears on Monday Night Football when I tuned in Get Up on Tuesday. So wanted to make sure we got him on. Jeff Saturday joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Jeff, how are you?
Doing fantastic, fellas. How's everything going for y'all?
Not good. It sucks. Yeah. It's the same old crap on offense, Jeff.
can we not even have a little bit of, like, just being grateful, Thanksgiving week, man, you got a little hope. I mean, we hadn't lost yet, right? We had a little bye.
Jeff,
do we have no hope? Are we just killing it already?
Jeff, the best part was this weekend we didn't have any angst at all. We were able to sit back and watch other teams play, and it was good. It was a nice break.
So. A little reprieve. I feel you, brother. I feel you.
So, Jeff, just give us, like, if you can give an overview on, like, you seemed mad watching the Bears offense, and you talked about a possible fracturing of the locker room. Just what is your impression when you watch the Bears try to play offense?
Yeah, it really is painful. I mean, when I was being very honest when I said, coming off that Tuesday morning show, just, you know, we crushed the Jets weekly. And this is Jets level offense. I mean, it is so bad. Here's why I get frustrated, because I get tired of people saying, well, they can't do better. I mean, they don't have talent or what, you know, like that stuff to me drives me crazy. Yeah, I mean, if you don't think that Robinson can play, I know Montgomery didn't because he was injured, and that he can play, Mooney, I mean, like, you can go through it, right? I mean, like it's not that you don't have ability, but you're wasting one of the better defenses in the game. And I equated, when I first, early in the season, I compared the Indianapolis Colts to the Chicago Bears, right? Is that when you look at them, they're both going to be defensive-driven football teams that have some real opportunity because they can turn it over. They can, you know, they can rush the pass. They can do everything at all three levels of their defense. So you feel good about it. If their offense can just play their part, these teams can really push and scare people because of their capabilities. And you have seen the Colts offense kind of find form, and it's not what everybody expected, right? Even though their offensive line is better than the Bears, they haven't been a real run-dominating team, right? I mean, they've just done enough with Phillip Rivers to find ways to win. That's the most frustrating part. And when you talk about Nagy being an offensive guy, now, there were some guys open on that Monday night that Foles didn't hit, but I still give the credit to you because you put Foles in the position to begin with. So whatever, for whichever way you're going on this, there's no real easy way out until you begin to produce on that side of the ball. Like, and that was what I was talking about with the fracturing, because at some point, when you get in that locker room, look, this isn't college, right? Like, we don't all go home together and, you know, we're not all going out on, you know, going out to the bars and drinking beer again. Like, I'm going home to my family, bro. And I'm, you know, I'm paying them bills with this money. I love that extra cheddar that comes on when we go to playoff games, right? Like, I like the contracts that come off of big seasons. And that means you got to pull your freaking weight. And I feel like when you get teams this lopsided, it's frustrating, you know, and I know it's frustrating for fans, but it's frustrating for players because you do have that mentality in your head that I'm not asking you to go hang 30. I don't need you to throw a 40 burger up, man. Right. Give me 25 points a game, and we can be like the Pittsburgh Steelers last year when you didn't even have basically a quarterback playing, and we can go 8-8 and hopefully win another or two and get in this playoffs and make a run. But you just see there's not a lot of excitement or energy on that side of the ball. And to me, that's just disappointing.
Jeff, we could talk about the lack of talent. We can get to how the offensive line isn't playing very well. But the thing that frustrates me more than anything is I watch it and I don't understand what they're trying to accomplish. I see Matt Nagy with his giant play sheet randomly calling plays, but nothing seems to connect dots in any way. What are you seeing when you watch them try to play offense?
Yeah, and it's very so the way you see it is very similar, but here's what I would tell you. From Nagy's perspective, when you dial the run and literally your running back is getting hit a yard behind the line of scrimmage almost every time. I mean, very rarely does this offensive line like come off the rock and open up gaps and next thing you know, so without play action, Nick Foles, he is not going to scare anybody. Like, just look at his career, man. I mean, this whole deal with it, he was going to be a savior in Jacksonville, and then now he's going to be in Chicago. Like he's a good player. He is not a franchise. We're going to, he's going to carry your group unless you got dudes. I mean, like, you got to have the dudes, right? And so I think from Nagy's perspective is that he gets to where he doesn't feel like, you can call plays for your dudes. So he's trying to find a rhythm, and to your point, nothing connects. Because I'm just telling you, without play action in that offense of what they're trying to do, if you're going to do what you're doing now, Trubisky is your guy. Yeah. Like, get him back in the freaking offense and let him go run. Let him use his legs. Put some dual threat out there, right? Run some RPO stuff where he can literally get 15 and 20 yards a clip and just risk. Whatever it is, but no, that's going to give you a much better chance to convert first downs, because right now you're doing, I mean, you are literally doing nothing. I mean, in that Monday night game, 10 points were the defense. I mean, like literally, I mean, so, you had special teams touchdown. I mean, it's just, you can't go in the NFL. You're just not, you're going to get no traction. I think Nagy, I'm sure he's trying to get bigger, and I'm with you. I think you shrink it. I think you take it back to as basic and elementary as you can, and I think you go Trubisky if that's going to be the key, and let that dude use his legs and his athleticism and see if you can buy some offensive production.
That's the essence of coaching, and we saw it with the Saints, didn't we? They have significantly better talent, but what Sean Payton did was he devised the offensive game plan around Taysom Hill's skill set.
That's right. And, here's the thing I would say, and I've said this all the time. Like, people think you're banging on players when you say things like that. I think every player, minus like a handful of guys in the history of football, has to have a system. I mean the history of football, right? Like a handful of guys in the history of football can supersede a system. Guys need structure and a system to succeed. And when you know, okay, we have Robinson here, we got Mooney here, we got McGovern. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have 3 to 5 play packages for each of these guys. Trubisky's going to have this, or Foles is going to have this. And then, to your point, you just do exactly what Sean Payton did, and you begin to find a security blanket for your quarterback. Oh, this is going to be this drag here or this mesh here or whatever, right? Like, philosophy is what it is. You find your way, but I think you have to get to that for this team, because your defense can win games. Like there is no doubt in my mind, when them dudes suit up, they're about it. And here's the worst part now, Tom. This is the worst. This team, the defense is getting older.
Yeah.
You don't have really draft picks. You're going to win too many games to really get a good draft going. And you've traded away so much when you've got Mack and Trubisky. So as you're looking at this thing long term, you really need to be winning now. I mean, that's the truth of it, is you need to be pursuing the NFC. And when your offense is this limited, you're just blocking yourself out.
Jeff, they gave up a fourth-round pick for Foles. You know what I mean? Like, they're always throwing more compensation. So next year's fourth-round pick is gone, and they're going to probably bench him for Trubisky. And, like, the funniest thing that you mentioned, and I don't think a lot of people feel our pain like you do, and that's what I love about you, is the worst spot to be in the NFL is in the middle. How many teams right now are 500? There is one. There is one 500 team. It's the Chicago Bears at 5-5. And they don't have a quarterback, and they don't have an offensive line, and the coach doesn't know how to maximize the talent. And, like, look, at least Lawrence is coming to the Jets, but right now, where do the Bears go?
That's right. Yeah, listen, mediocrity being right in the, you can never go anywhere. You're always drafting just the okay guy, right? You never get a chance. And I totally forgot they trade away a fourth round pick. I totally forgot that. So again, you're going, I mean, it just, you have got to win now. I mean, and the issue is you've got to figure out a way to get your offense. And again, they don't have to be a juggernaut. Like, it doesn't have to be a guru, man. Just go score 24 points a game.
Yeah.
Like, go score 21 a game. This defense is good enough. You will make noise in the playoffs if you can find that way. You know what I mean? So if there's any hope, that would be mine. Is, hey, find, you know, like, you listen, think about the Patriots. The last 2 weeks, I've watched the Patriots run throwback pass. One for a touchdown the game they won, one they throw yesterday. And I'm thinking to myself, I played the Patriots a whole lot of times back when Troy Brown was around. That was the last time they were throwing trick passes. You know what I mean? Like they don't do that. They go play football. Like, I don't even see that with the Bears. Like, give me something, man, creativity-wise, that gives me a spark and a chance and a hope other than just putting Patterson at running back. I mean, that, like for real, dude, I don't get it.
Yeah. Jeff, really quick, before we let you go, how could Matt Nagy, you're an offensive lineman, you went to the Pro Bowl, I think, six times, you won a Super Bowl. How can Matt Nagy say, our offensive line ain't that good last year, but we're going to change the coach in Juan Castillo and all our problems are going to go away?
You wish it would work that way. You know what I mean? Like, I think it takes years to get the right fit, you know, and everybody, listen, and we're the worst at it. I mean, when you think about the media, we are the absolute worst about being honest about football. All we talk about is skill positions, man. I mean, if you knew how much, I tell them all the time, all I ever talk about are freaking quarterbacks and receivers and maybe an occasional running back. The reality of 75% of games are won and lost in the trenches, and we never talk about it. But it's no different than, you know, I'll go back to Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, and Peyton Manning, right? Like, it's no different than the continuity those guys had. We had it on the offensive line. When you go back to the Bears, when we're playing them with Crews, like that group, those dudes, there was something about them, and there was, you know, they built the structure around that. Like, that carries the nastiness of your football team. It carries the attitude. You know, it's a lunch pail type deal. And when you look in the NFL and you look at teams that struggle now, look at how the offensive lines have fallen, like with Dallas and with, you know, with you guys, Philadelphia. Like, if you look at it, a ton of it has to do with O-line play. But we never, and again, Juan's got his work cut out for you, right? Like, you got to, I mean, it's going to take you a year or two to get to find the right fit and then find the type of mentality of guys you can get. So, you know, I don't envy any of what's going on right now.
Yeah, we're a mess. We're a hot mess. We're a dumpster fire right now on the offensive side of the ball. It just is.
Jeff, thanks so much. We always appreciate you picking up the phone for us.
Thanks, Jeff.
Love being with y'all. Have a great one. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving. Jeff Saturday, he played many years for the Colts with Peyton Manning. He was a Pro Bowler, won a Super Bowl, of course, against us.
Yeah, he doesn't know what it's like to suffer offensively. He went from the Indianapolis Colts with Peyton Manning to 1 year with the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Good for him. He deserved it.
There are some people who are making the comps. Carmen DeFalco to Albert Bell. Find out why next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. Oh.
right, Albert Bell, do you remember back in the day when weren't people like egging his house and then he like chased a bunch of kids through the neighborhood back in Cleveland?
I vaguely remember that.
There's a story where they went something with Halloween.
And I was going to say, I thought it was Halloween.
Yeah, Carmen DeFalco has become that guy. Now, I didn't hear the whole story. I got into the conversation late. I think you did too, Waddle. So we're going to hear this for the first time, the explanation. But he ran after some neighborhood kids. And I want to find out if you think he was in the right or if he was in the wrong. Take a listen to Carmen this morning. Carmen and Yurko every morning right here on ESPN 1000. 10 to noon, Carmen shared this story. I believe it happened Friday night.
So I'm sitting there, and I catch from my peripheral vision a figure in the doorway. And quickly runs away and or you know, sort of like comes up to the door and then backs away. And I thought, well, you know, my in-laws live close. A lot of times my mother-in-law will just randomly like drop stuff off. And then I don't know why she doesn't ring the bell, but she'll text me or my wife. Oh, I left
she'll
this.
She'll dart off.
Right, yeah. So I'm thinking, oh, I was probably Karen's mom. And then about 10, 15 seconds go by, and all of a sudden it catches my eye again. I look, and I'm thinking, all right, what is this now? And now I'm kind of just staring at the door. Then I see this figure approach again and walk away. So now I'm a little bit agitated, wondering what's going on exactly. I walk.
You're somewhat wary. You're somewhat wary.
Somewhat vigilant, somewhat wary, yeah.
Did you go for your Glock? Did you go for your 9mm?
I don't have a Glock. I did not go for everything. I don't even have shoes or socks on at this point. I'm in shorts and a T-shirt.
Right.
And I open my front door. And from behind one of these little box hedges, someone jumps out in front of me, mask on, mind you, like COVID mask, you know, not like a Halloween mask, COVID mask, but, you know, mask on his face, jumps out, throws his arms up and screams in my face. Now, when I tell you I hit the ceiling, Yurko, I thought my heart was going to explode in my chest. And for a split second, you're not quite sure, right? Like, I'm thinking, am I going to have to make sure somebody doesn't come barreling into my house right now? You know, like, for a second, you're a little scared, right? Mm-hmm. Well, about 2 seconds go by, and I realize it's a bunch of teenagers, because all of a sudden, I see, like, five of them kind of start peeling away, you know, like, from between my house and my neighbor's house, right? So this the guy who startled me, he's a kid, he's a teenager, he scared the living bejesus out of me.
One of the neighborhood boys.
He starts running, and then I see all of his little friends, and they're all laughing, and, you know, so now I went from being extremely scared for a second to being just pissed off, as you can imagine. Right. And I said, let's see how funny it is when I catch one of you little, and I dropped an expletive, you know?
Sure, you MF-er.
That's exactly the expletive
let me
I dropped.
Catch you little blankety blanks.
To which one of them turned around as they're all running away through my yard, into the street, good luck. And that's all I needed. I was off to the races.
Like a bandit. They like didn't know you did. They're messing with a triathlete. They like didn't know that, did they?
So at the Yurko, like a bat out of hell, I took off through the yard, and now they realize that I'm chasing them, and panic ensues. And they all split up in different directions. And for whatever reason, I locked on to one, and I said, that's the one I'm going to get. And about three houses down, that's the one I got. And so I bring him back to the house.
Did you pummel him? Did you sock him in the jaw a couple times?
No, the poor kid is scared out of his mind.
Did you kick him in the jewels?
It wasn't him. It was his friends.
Is he crying?
Oh, he's crying. I bring him back to the house. I get my wife. And now my wife comes to the door. She goes, what is going on?
So that was I'm shocked.
So what happened? I want to know the end of the story.
Well,
what
then I think he just...
He had Karen call the mom of the kid. The kid's crying. You know, ding-dong ditch gone wrong.
At that point, don't you just cut him loose after you've scared the hell out of him?
Like, now Carmen's going to be a target in the neighborhood,
yeah,
I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like now these kids are going to... I think he's just made it worse for himself.
Now, I will say this. My first kind of thought was, you're probably, this day and age, you're scared to death that somebody's going to break into your house, right?
Well, that's what he thought.
Right.
Like, you know,
keep
he's protecting
seeing
his
somebody
house at first.
Going across, and they've got masks on, and you have no idea. You got two young kids in the house. Your wife's in the house. I don't know why Carm's got shorts and a T-shirt on. We don't live in, you know, Naples.
I wear shorts and I wear sweats and a T-shirt around
the
house.
Right, yeah, sweats. I bet no shoes on. I mean, he was... That's quite a sprint.
You know when he gets angry, how
I know,
he can go from 0 to 10, and now he's chasing a neighborhood kid who was
back in the
Yale,
day,
man,
back in back in our day.
Oh yeah,
the kid would have gotten a beat down.
Well, but then don't you risk then the other kid's parents coming over, and now don't you have a neighborhood war? Or is this the best thing to do? Did Carmen do the right thing and stand his ground and make sure that he sets a message in that neighborhood that his house will not become a target unruly teenagers?
What I would have said is maybe the best move with the benefit of hindsight would have been after he got the teenager in his custody. Probably had him pinned on the ground a little bit.
Really?
No physical.
You would have pinned him?
Why? How else did he catch him? Did he tackle him, or did he just grab him
by his shirt?
Okay.
He told us.
Maybe like stand there and say, "Ha ha! You thought this was funny? I did catch you."
And you then know, videotape him and send out a message all the neighborhood kids.
You just say, "Listen,
this is what happens when you screw with the DeFalcos.
I'm not messing around. You know what? I got two young kids in my house." You scared the hell out of everybody. We don't know. Next time, hey, if I was a gun owner, maybe I would have shot you. Like, you're messing with fire, young man. I don't know if dragging him by his ear back to, you know, the house and having Karen call his mom and dad was, I mean, but you know what? To each their own.
Like, that's what I'm trying.
I would have loved to have seen it, though. Like, Carm going,
the
like,
ring doorbell,
all right, game on, let's go. I would have loved to see. I'm glad that Carm taught those kids a lesson.
You think so?
Yes.
Or did he just escalate the matter with eggs and with TP toilet paper and different? Now are they going next weekend?
Yeah, it's a challenge now. Okay. His house
is the
challenge house.
But I would just say next time.
Where the crazy old man lives.
Yeah, but next time it may get a little more physical.
Yeah, but next time they're going to out sprint them. That's the logic of a young kid.
I think he
showed
you.
When I was a young person, the logic was you weren't going to catch me.
Okay.
I never got caught.
Donuts in the front yard.
You were a cross-country runner.
Exactly. We were good at it.
Maybe Carmen is aware of it now, and he's got like a little deer stand waiting for these clowns to come over to his house.
What is he, Cutler?
I'm just saying. The next time, you know, I would just tell him, don't mess. This isn't the time for you to be doing that stuff.
Why doesn't he have a ring doorbell? Like, he videotapes all of this stuff. You find out who they are that way. Send out the video.
Get a mask on. What are you going to find out from that? You got a mask on.
I think it's best now to keep the video record.
I would love to see the video of that person.
I want a mask on.
See, Carm, way to go, Carm. Way to go.
Waddle says thumbs up. I'm sort of like thumb sideways. I'm all for protecting what is yours, but we were all in that position at one time.
Yeah, and we all got caught.
Oh, you were hitting mailboxes with a baseball bat.
That's right, and we had a guy chasing us off a porch. He couldn't
catch
me.
With a shotgun?
No, we were fortunate, but no. But you don't know.
See, I think Carmen needs to set up a trap now. So when they come to do it again,
he's hanging out somewhere.
Something where like flour flies out, or you know, something where you get them, you can't hurt them, but you know, you got to get with it because they're going to mess with them. They're going to continue to mess with them. He just started an all out war.
Okay, well, you get some sort of poo gun. You collect the dog's feces.
No, they're
going to
like poo on fire on his
doorstep.
You can't
do poo with kids. That's not you. You have to make it. Like, aren't there all these rules with nut allergies and all this stuff with young kids these days? You can't do that.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? You can't throw poo at a kid. Why? Because today's society is? You can't be there hurling poo at the kid.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
What does a peanut allergy have to do with it?
Because they've got all these the list of things that kids can't do nowadays.
Why won't
back in our day, when we were kids, we could throw poo at each other.
I love that Black's philosophy is, well, Black, I'm with you that throwing poo at the neighborhood kids may not be the best thing, but you citing nut allergies make me laugh.
I think Carm said, hey, listen, I'm not the old guy in the neighborhood that you can just keep punking.
But that's who the kids are going to punk.
Guess what? Carm, this is going to be exercise for him now. He's not going to have to work out. Once a week he goes out, it catches a teenager acting like a fool.
He doesn't park in the driveway, does he?
Carmen DeFalco, neighborhood vigilante.
They mess with the wrong guy. They mess with the wrong guy.
They did.
What are you guys going to do? Just sit back and let them TP your trees and And egg your house?
No, but I think egging the house is the next step.
Do you think it works?
Because you're not.
You think they were to do that anyway?
Yep. Then you're going to get the cellophane around the car.
You were going to get that.
In the driveway, it's going to be around the car.
You were getting it anyway.
You think so?
Yeah. And then they're going to fork the yard.
What did I? Excuse me.
You said fork.
Have you ever heard of that? You fork the yard. Okay.
Which forking the yard.
You put forks in the grass so you can't run across.
No, you know the plastic forks. You can buy like 400 or 500 of them, right? You stick them all over the yard. Yeah. You know how mad Carmen would be that he had forks all over his yard? Then they snap off when you step on it. You know how annoying that is to go pick that up? This is the idea.
I don't think you guys understand the level of annoyance I had when I was a kid.
This is what we used to do.
So had he not ran after them and caught any one of them? Where at that point you act crazy. So you scare the kids like, okay, you want to do this again? It's going to get worse for you.
You probably would have handed them beers, Waddle. I mean, you're like, hey,
you're that dad.
After, have a beer.
After I caught one of them and taught them the meaning of the word
respect. That's good. Maybe that Carmen could have done that. He shook him a little bit and said, hey, kid, here's one for the road.
Again, with the nut allergies, I don't think you can give the 16-year-old a beer. I don't think 13-year-old kids can get a beer these days. I just think
you guys thought, oh, I'm just going to sit in my house on my couch and I'm going to watch my television and those hooligans are just going to go away.
I'm telling you, they're going to fork his yard.
They're going to do it anyway.
I've never heard of the forking of the. That's a lot of effort for you to do.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but if you're
buy a bunch of plastic forks and stick them in the ground.
So what? There's a bunch of forks.
How much does 500 forks cost? Like $7? Who cares?
Who wants to spend that Saturday night putting? I don't know about what you were doing as a kid at 16 or 17. I wasn't sticking forks in somebody's yard.
What's the reward, Bleck? What's the reward by saying I got you good? You had to pick up all those forks.
It's either that, or he's going to get the bean burrito on the doorstep.
Have you ever been the recipient of water coming out of a power, like a power washer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't feel good, does it?
Well, I mean, you got to have good aim for that, though.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, but you're going to the power washer in defense?
I'm coming up with anything.
I love this.
Yeah.
This is like a neighborhood war.
You start the war. I mean, like, listen, what do you want me to do? Just sit back and be passive and sit in my house and watch episodes of Facts of Life?
Did you guys catch in the story, though? It seemed like he just saw the shadows. What were the kids actually doing?
Yeah, they didn't ring the... I thought they rang the doorbell. He was just seeing
shadows. All I know is, like,
defend my house!
People walking around your house dressed in masks, you're not going to be a little bit concerned.
Everyone's wearing a mask. They weren't wearing masks like Halloween masks.
Not around my house at night.
Wait, you have no COVID around your house? Everyone has a mask on now.
Nobody's coming around my house.
I love that the hooligans at least are safe hooligans from COVID. Right. They may be hooligans, but they're socially distancing.
I don't know who this is standing outside of my house, walking by my windows. I got kids in my house. I can't have that nonsense going
on. All right,
on.
Let's take some calls. Did Carmen do the right thing?
Yes,
312-332-3776.
Giving that kid a little bit of a, I don't know, maybe a forearm shiver and took him down.
How would you have handled it? And the good, the bad, the dirty coming up.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
A lot of reaction to Carmen teaching the word respect to the neighborhood kids playing around in front of his
house. Nobody got hurt, right?
No one got hurt.
Okay, so Carmen's not going to get arrested for assault.
But could just be the start. I mean, it could escalate over this.
Why do you think a ring doorbell is going to help when they've got kids with masks on?
I think you get, I think all the time, whenever you have video footage,
the ring doorbell works just in general, but I mean, you're not going to catch which neighborhood kid it is if he's got a mask on.
Someone on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, I agree with Tom. I had a similar situation, but over a snowman. Neighborhood kids knocked down my 6-year-old daughter's snowman. I chased and caught the you-know-what. So, we got full phones on this, too.
I'm not advocating giving the kid a beating. I'm just saying, like, you think it's cool? You think you can outrun me? Well, boom. Here's a reality check for you.
I played for the Bears.
No, that's not what I said.
Brad and Gurney, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Brad.
Hey, fellas. Love the show. Love this segment. I'm just dying in my car, and I'm so glad it got through. Carmen is an absolute hero. I mean, he gives hope to us four-year-old,
yes,
middle-aged dudes that you can beat the young guys. He just, he gave him a beatdown, and it's wonderful. Now, he will, he does need to put up perhaps a couple of those ring spotlight cams in the front and back as a deterrent to hold off future incidents. Hey, a little side story. My best ever prank when I was young, it was neighborhood patio furniture swap.
That's pretty good. Where you did that amongst different neighborhoods, neighbors, where you would take their furniture and put it in a neighbor's and vice versa?
Yeah, you would. Yeah, like you would swap.
That's a lot of work for a laugh. That's a lot of work. Yeah, that's a lot of work for a laugh.
It was the best. Could you imagine waking up and you'd be like, "What? Whose furniture is this?" It was always two doors down. We aimed to be so, you know.
I love that.
That is right, good.
I love
that. It's a lot of work, though. It's a lot of work.
A lot of lifting.
It was worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. Ben's on the south side. Ben, you're on ESPN 1000.
That a boy, Carmen. That a boy. Listen, my oldest son played high school football. I got two little ones. So my wife used to get mad at me when I used to kind of like use a strong forearm to get through the high school stand. So after a while, I always rode my bike, and the kids finally figured out who I was. They're like, "Make a hole. Here come big man. Otherwise, he's going to make one for you."
Love it.
Ben, thank you.
Yeah.
Nick in Round Lake, you're on Waddle and Sylvie. What's up, Nick?
Yeah, you know, all I was going to say is I don't think Carmen has to worry about any retaliation. He's got one of the kids' names already.
Yeah.
That's so right. If anything names. Happens, you're knocking on that door and say, "Hey, buddy, you better tell your friends."
That's right. I'm coming for you, even if it's not
exactly.
You.
Exactly.
That's right, Nick. You got to set the tone.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. No. And
don't
and
get caught. That's what I would say, too, to the kids. Don't get caught. Don't get caught.
Yeah, you better run, my friend.
I'm good with both. Like, I just never got
You've
caught.
You've been in both
yes.
situations.
Yes.
You were the hooligan.
Yes, I was. You're right. But had I been caught, I can honestly tell you it would have scared the crap out of me, and I probably would have been a better behaved hooligan.
I'll never forget the old Morton Grove Theater, okay? And, you know, you think when you first get your license that you're hot crap, you know what I mean? You got the world. The world's at your fingertips. So we're going to the Morton Grove Theater. Burger's driving his parents' car. We must be 16 or 17. We're going to see one of these heavily discounted movies. It's like the $3 theater. You know, we're hot crap.
We're going to see a Friday night.
We've got his dad's old Chevy, and we're looking for a parking spot. And we're about to pull in, and someone pulled into the parking spot. And so I rolled down the window and flipped them off.
Oh,
and
move.
That guy got out of the car, and he came running at the car. And I got freaked the you-know-what out. He taught me a lesson at 16. You think I was ready to fight? I wasn't ready to fight. I just thought I was hot crap because we were 16 going to see a movie at Morton Grove Theater.
Listen, and that lesson's probably served you well or should have served you well the rest of your life. You don't want to go into a bar and start flexing because you don't know who that guy that you're trying to pick a fight with or you want to chest up with. You don't know what his background is. He could
never
probably
know.
Whip
yes.
your ass with one hand.
Easily. Darren in Lamont, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Darren.
Hey. I've been on both ends. Younger, we had a guy down the street that we would egg his house. And actually, this guy was pretty fast, and he caught the slowest kid.
Yep.
Brought him back to the house, told his wife to go inside and grab a carton of eggs. Threw the kid on the ground and started throwing the eggs at the kid.
Whoa!
So... But we did revenge. We went back 2 weeks later, and we didn't know that he rounded up the neighbors by the house because that kind of ticked us off. And as soon as we got up there, we got surrounded by the neighbors, and the neighbors chased us, so we never did it again. The guy was cool after that, and we used to wave to him. We'd go by on our bikes, and he'd give us like a thumbs up, like, "Yeah, I got you guys."
It was a respect.
And then,
that's what I think. I think Carm earned some respect with the neighborhood hooligans. I think
he did.
Yeah.
And then I got two younger daughters, and I'll fast forward here a few years. I got an 8 and a 10-year-old, And we had the kids around the block that would come over. We had our doorbell disconnected. They would come down, and they would rap on the door really hard, and it scared the crap out of us. I sat there the next day, caught the kid, brought him back over to kids, other kids in the neighborhood there, and called the cops. And, you know, I told the cops that I was going to do. I pulled them and said, hey, let's do a little scared straight on these guys, because these guys keep coming to my house, and I want them to stop. And then they're like, oh, no, it wasn't me. And I said, no, I got the camera. I go, you're the only guy wearing a yellow shirt. It's obvious. So, yeah, you got to do a scared straight. So, see the kids now? They all waved to me. So
there you go. You earn the respect.
I love it. This has been fun. 332-3776. A lot of reaction. I want to continue to take your reaction on this. I mean, I think it was awesome what Carmen did, but I still think he's opened himself up to revenge. The kids don't back down easily. 332-3776.
Scare them hard enough, they will.
The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. Have you locked in on your refinance yet? What are you waiting for? Do what I did. Apply online today with their 5-minute loan approval. Only available with Ryan Kelly and thehomeloanexpert.com.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, we're talking about what happened to Carmen DeFalco on Friday night.
Mad respect for Carmen.
We had a bunch of neighborhood kids, what, early teens is the way
How
it was
early?
Described?
Early teens is like 13 or 14.
Right, but I mean, are a bunch of kids who are 16 and 17-year-old doing this
There's
stuff?
Nothing. What else is there to do? You know what gives away
in the backyard?
Age? What gives
the
away
crying?
The age? Yeah, the crying after getting caught. Yeah. That gives away. That's probably, at best, a 14-year-old, maybe a 13-year-old kid, right?
That's what
I'd
I'm
be
thinking.
More impressed if the kid was like 16 and Carm hunted him down and got him.
But was crying then? Was crying over?
Oh, hold on!
Just scaring a guy on his doorstep.
Are we going to find out that this kid is 11?
Is Carmen catching a 16-year-old? I'm not going to.
Carm's
like,
in good shape.
No, I'm not saying he's not. But I think you have a different caliber of teenager when you go from 13-year-old to 16. 16-year-olds can run.
Not everyone's fast, though. Yeah. Well, you were fast.
Some of them
at
are
16.
Sitting around playing video games and not outside exercising, Chris.
What kind of kid wants to go ding-dong ditch and he's not fast? That's a
the
kid that needs to be
gets
playing
caught.
Video games.
The kind that gets caught.
Peanut allergy kids. That's
as Carmen said, he you know what he focused in on the runt of the litter.
Aren't the kids who are playing sports really playing ding dong ditch?
Yeah.
Really? Think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else you got to do right now? You can't go to a party.
You can. I mean, they're not. Well, they're not sanctioned, and they're not.
At least the kids were having a socially distanced activity on a Friday
not
night.
Not when Carm's got him in a headlock.
Well, that's on Carmen. Yeah. Carmen's so the one that.
Yeah, so Carm got. He saw a bunch of shadows outside his house. Bunch of kids hiding in the bushes. They scared the you know what out of
him. I'd have been scared too.
He ran, and when he started yelling at the kids, he said, "You're not going to be laughing when I catch you." And then one of the kids yelled, "Oh yeah, good luck!" So Carmen sprinted off his doorstep and caught one of them.
They're lucky they didn't get ball batted because you know, I mean, if Carm is nervous and he's scared, he's going to reach for something, and one of the kids, I don't know. I mean, they're fortunate.
John in Highland Park, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, John.
Hey, so a few years ago, I was driving my daughters, who were like 10 and 8 at the time, somewhere. And then we're driving down, and these three teens by the side of the road, and one of them makes about as obscene a gesture at us as you can possibly make.
Yeah.
So I slam the brakes. I do a 180. I drive back. I roll down the window and shout no at him. But the reason the blood drains from his face is because he recognizes me and realizes my wife and I are friends with his parents.
How old was he then?
I want to say he was like 13.
So you're going around no
foul mouth, 13-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I think Carm set the tone. I don't think Carm's got to worry about anything going forward. I don't. I just don't.
Jim, and
I don't think Carm's worried about the old plastic fork trick in the lawn.
Jim in Indiana, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jim.
Gentlemen, how are you?
We're good. Good.
Enjoying the stories. Props to Carmen, big time. Got to say, he just reminded me of one of my favorite dad memories. When I was a young kid, we were living in New Jersey before we moved to Chicago. My old man was the I don't get a sixth place ribbon. If you're hurt, walk it off kind of dad. And he was at a bridge party with some of the neighbors' dads who told him that he would have to understand that Devil's Night, the night before Halloween, was the night that all the teenagers went out and egged the houses and soaked up cars. And my old man looked at them and said, so you're telling me one night a year they get to do whatever the hell they want? And let's just say my dad was not with that program. So the day before, my dad laid out the hoses, eggs, water balloons, and we as a family basically defended the house as 15 and 16-year-old high school kids came at us with masks on. And it was one of my most fun nights ever, repelling kids with cold water in the middle of an October night.
You should have,
couldn't beat it.
Should have built a moat.
That absolute props to Carmen.
Yes.
Yeah. Jim, thank you. That's great. Yep. That's a great story. Rocky and Valpo, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Rocky.
Gentlemen, how are we doing this evening?
Good. We're good.
I heard the story, and I heard the good luck, and the first thing I pictured was Carmen chasing him down like he's chasing down Marco from Jaboya with a little recorder up next to his ear as he's running down the street repeating, good luck, good luck.
Yeah.
But I, he absolutely did the right thing, and I know that from being on the younger side of it. Had a couple of friends. We were out messing around, and some woman saw us by her car. We weren't doing anything to it, but she thought that we were. So she came running out. We ran, and she said, if I ever catch you, I'll kill you.
Oh, that's...
Well, that's the last thing that we remember. So a little while later, we see the car. We hear, there they are, and we start getting chased. Everywhere we went, it's there they are, there they are. And we thought it was this woman who was amazingly fast chasing us down. Well, it turned out we got caught by cops. They had 20 women set up all around the neighborhood before the cops went after us so that we couldn't get away. But that...
Scared you straight.
I scared a bejesus out of me. I was a lot better kid after that.
Yeah, for sure, Rocky. Good stuff.
Carm actually raised the level of behavior in his neighborhood based on what he did.
I there could be another chapter. That's all I'm cautioning you about. Bill on 55, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Billy?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you doing today?
Good. We're good. How do you feel about this?
Well, I'm all for it, man. I'm 100% on board. Several years ago, my daughter at the time was 17, and she'd gotten herself into some trouble. She was on punishment. So it was a Saturday night. She's upstairs in her room, and me and the wife are downstairs with the young son watching TV. And we got ding-dong ditched two times. And the wife was going to go outside and try to find out. I says, no. I says, I'll take care of this. I had a suspicion it was some of her male friend callers because they were supposed to have some big party that night. So they were probably, you know, I just assumed it was them coming to try to get her out of the house. So anyway, I got outdoor speakers and everything that are hooked up in the house. Well, the son had some app on his iPad or whatever that you could make about any sound of any gun you could think of. Well, I hooked up the microphone to the outside surround sound and got his app and started firing off shotgun rounds.
Nice. I like it.
Come to find out, one of the kids, I'm really good friends with his dad. The next weekend, I'm over at the house drinking beer with the dad in the garage, and I'm telling him about this, and he looked at me dead in the face. He goes, my wife wondered what the hell the kid crapped his pants for. He literally crapped his pants at my house when he heard the gun going off. Needless to say, we've never been ding-dong ditched since.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that is awesome. That's like Home Alone. He was like the kid from Home Alone with Macaulay Culkin doing all those sound effects. That's fantastic. We can continue to take more of your calls in the 5 o'clock hour. All we have is Mark Jean Greco. We do want to catch
it.
You up.
That's all we got. Just
no,
more
no, we got a lot. We want to catch you up on the news of the day. There is news from today with Jed Hoyer being introduced in quotes by the Cubs and Matt Nagy talking about the quarterback situation. So you'll hear from them. We'll continue to take your phone calls. Your biggest takeaway from this weekend, anything you saw, Bears free and whether or not Carm was right or wrong. We're back in 2 short minutes.